Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. You're going to be glad you did because we have an extraordinary guest. It's you. Your questions, our answers. It's Ask the Guys today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Thanks for tuning in to the show today. Let's meet our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We've got a great show today. It's always great when our listeners ask us questions.
We do, and we have a ton of questions. I felt really bad for Walter. He came dragging in this gigantic bag of email, and we spent hours going through it all, picking out some of the cream of the crop. And so we've got a great list of questions from you guys today.
Yeah, good stuff. We're not going to get to all of them just because that's the nature of the game, but we'll get right into it. Here are the only caveats. We are not tax professionals or attorneys. We don't give advice. We give ideas and information. So with that, here we go. Question number one comes from Eugene in Chicago, Illinois. He says, hey guys, with your experience in property management, when a tenant breaks their lease and moves out prematurely, what goes through your mind? How do you handle the situation?
I just think about how embarrassing it is when you have premature evacuation.
I hate that when it happens. And here's the thing. Get over it. Get used to it. It's part of the game. I remember when I first started in real estate, before I was even licensed to sell real estate many years ago, my first real job in real estate was as an on-site assistant property manager at a large apartment building. And I'll tell you, we had all kinds of situations where people forgot to pay or left in the middle of the night. And I used to get emotionally attached to all that. Today, not so much. The reason you have a lease is so there is some contract moving forward. In most states, a lease, however, favors the tenant a lot more than a landlord. In some places, month-to-month tenancies prevail. It's just 30 days notice if they want to leave. It's 30 days notice if you want your apartment back. But many landlords want the surety of a 1 year or even 2 year lease. The problem is with the law in most states, as far as tenant-landlord law goes, there's not much room for the landlord to go after the tenant once they leave. It's possible for you to say keep a portion of their deposit, but the reality is if they're going to move, they're going to move.
Well, I mean, of course, Eugene is talking about an apartment lease, a residential situation. If this were a commercial situation, then you would have perhaps recourse against the entity, the business, the corporation that had signed the lease. And so you may have some remedy at law. And it's more important in a commercial situation because typically you're going to have those big investments coming in, the commissions you had to pay to get the client in, and then the tenant improvements that you had to spend to prepare the property for his occupation. And so it's more important in those commercial leases. And again, the law looks at commercial deals a lot differently than apartment deals. I agree with you, Robert. I mean, what are you going to do? It's part of being in the business. If you don't like handling that part of it, then that's why you have professional property management.
Here's what you say. Next. Just find the next person who'd like to rent and move on with your life.
The only other thing is it may make you stop and think, if this is happening all the time, it may be you've chosen a bad demographic to serve. But before you even blame the customer, the first thing you have to do is look in the mirror at your own screening. Am I doing a good job of giving the right person the occupancy, right? Maybe I've got too low standards. Maybe I'm missing some obvious warning signs. Maybe I'm just renting to whoever can fog a mirror. Maybe I don't have enough demand and I don't have a good enough selection of tenants to pick from. So look at your own internal processes, number one. If you feel like that's pretty good and it's not happening on a regular basis, then you might take a look at your property manager, or you might take a look at the demographic that you're serving and think, maybe this isn't the demographic that I want, the business I want to be in.
All right, good stuff. Our next question comes from Larry in Placerville, California. He says, hey, I want to use a portion of my 401k to invest in real estate. How do I do this without incurring the taxes? All right, well, keeping in mind the previous caveat is we're not tax professionals, let's answer that question.
Yeah, it's pretty easy peasy. You know, the thing is, it's almost amazing to me that we get people who haven't heard that you can invest using a self-directed IRA. Of course, he's saying 401k, and if you're still employed and the 401k is being held by the employer, then you're not going to have access to it. You might be able to take out a loan against it, and then you're going to have to pay on that. The thing you have to be aware of is if you were to leave the company, you may have to pay that loan back, and you may not be ready to do that. So make sure you really understand. You can either take a loan out against a 401k at a company you're currently employed with. If you leave the company, then you can turn it into a self-directed IRA, and there's custodians like one of our sponsors, NewView IRA, you can find in the Resource Center. In fact, we're going to be speaking at a conference that NewView is going to be putting on in Orlando on October 2nd, which is also under our events tab. But anyway, there's custodians out there who can help you get a hold of the assets you have available in your IRA and use them for alternative investing, including real estate, without you having to withdraw the money and incur the penalty in the income tax.
It's an absolute topic you'll want to know more about. Larry, if you are interested in using your retirement funds, just in general, a 401k at your current company, likely not eligible. But when you say you have a 401k, lots of folks are sitting on 401ks from a past employer and they just keep them. Really consider converting that 401k into a self-directed IRA if you can. It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions, our answers. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click on the tab that says Ask the Guys. This one comes from Kristen in Tarzana, California. Wow, two from California. Hello, Real Estate Guys. I bought a single-family rental property during the housing bubble. It was meant as a long-term investment property. At the time, the property had a positive income. Over the years, I've had to reduce the rent to keep it occupied. It's now underwater with a negative income. It's costing me too much money, and I need to get rid of it. What do you suggest? Thank you so much. Well, Kristen, we feel your pain. This has happened to a lot of our listeners. It's happened to us. We end up with properties we pay too much for in the light of day. They're worth less now, and rents have gone down.
Well, I mean, part of what makes a housing bubble is too many buyers, right? You get a bunch of people in there buying, and usually they're buying with easy money. But with that said, you may want to take a look at whether or not you can restructure the financing on the property to improve the cash flow. You might also want to look at other things you might be able to do to change the property to improve the cash flow. Maybe you can add storage, or maybe you can find some way to attract a better quality tenant that is willing to pay more money. We don't know that much about your property. Assuming you get to the point where you just absolutely positively cannot make the thing positive cash flow, then you have to do an analysis of what it is going to cost you to get rid of it. And that may be the time and the expense of trying to do a short sale or a deed in lieu and negotiate with the lender. It may just mean writing a check to the lender for whatever the balance is, so you can walk away with a clean credit score and you don't have to fight with the lender. As long as they get their money, they're going to be happy. You just have to look at that. Or you say, well, maybe the market is going to recover. And if I were to hold on for another year or 2 years and it's costing me, I don't know, $200-$300 a month, which is no fun, but it's only, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 at the end of 3 years. And in the end of 3 years, you might be able to get out of the property. So it's just a matter of comparing all of your different options. And then one of my favorite sayings is do the math, and the math will tell you what to do.
Now, you're from California. It doesn't say the property's from California. California is a market that bounces back generally and has been pretty resilient. So I would just, again, find out from folks that know in your area, realtors and other investors, what the general trend looks like. It may be that you can hang on. It may be that you can structure a lease option. We've got a question about that coming up. That may be a thing you do with the tenant, which gets you a little more income for the time being in exchange for them one day being the owner. Lots of things to do. But I think part of this brings up this concept of zero-based thinking. You bought the property for a reason, you had an investment objective, it worked, and then the market changed. Zero-based thinking is this: knowing what I now know, would I buy this property? And if you absolutely would not, then as quickly as possible, get rid of it and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Never fun to lose money, but sometimes you have to cut your losses, that's for sure. Just don't let real estate be the culprit. Oh, I tried real estate and it didn't work. That's all about market timing and strategy at the time. Long-term, real estate investors do very, very well. This question comes from Val in Brooklyn, New York. Real Estate Guys, when will you be doing a field trip to Cuba? All right. Well, that's a really good question. We have been looking at Cuba for a long, long time, actually. And maybe we should explain what a Real Estate Guys field trip is and how it is that we pick the markets that we pick. The real estate guys have for more than 10 years now been doing these educational field trips in a market. We'll go in for 3 or 4 days. We'll understand the drivers in a market. We'll meet providers. Those are folks that can help people. There's nothing sold on a real estate guy's field trip. So the premise of a provider being there, a broker, a developer, a turnkey operator, is that they're going to educate you on the market. And if you decide at the end of the trip, hey, this market sounds good, now you've been introduced to some folks that maybe can help you, but there's certainly no obligation ever to buy anything. We pick markets that make sense to us for a variety of reasons, and more importantly, where we have a really rock-solid team. If you go back in our archives just 6 or 8 weeks, you'll find a 4-part series we did on the real estate guy's philosophy of starting with who you are as an investor, then going to pick a market that makes sense, then finding a team, then ultimately finding the property. And in our world, we would take a better team in a lesser market over a better market and a lesser team. People say Cuba is a great market. We don't have any kind of a team built there. So it's going to be some time before the real estate guys show up on a field trip to Cuba. Doesn't mean we're not working at it. It just means that you've got to have great providers in that marketplace. And it is still very, very early.
Well, and I mean, I think the other thing is the market has to have some basic fundamentals. And this listener is from the United States. So we're assuming that Cuba to them is a foreign market. When you go into a foreign market, there's a lot to learn. And one of the things you're concerned about is the stability of the government, especially with respect to ownership rights, especially with ownership rights of foreigners. And that's different from country to country. And then you have to deal with the finances and the landlord-tenant laws and all of those things of doing business in a foreign country. So there's a lot to learn. One of the major reasons people go into foreign countries is for asset protection and privacy. And you're looking at a regime in Cuba that has not been super friendly to individual rights. So it would take, I think, for at least from my perspective, it would take a little bit more time or maybe a lot more time in proof of concept before Cuba would be a marketplace that we would be willing to go settle in. You know, God bless the pioneers, right? I mean, you live in the United States of America, you know, there were some very brave people that went out into the wild, wild wilderness and faced all kinds of unknown terror and conquered it. And then that allowed people to come in behind them when a lot of the heavy lifting was done and the concept was proven. And then they were able to settle. We tend to be more like settlers than pioneers. You know, we don't want to be on the bleeding edge. We don't mind being on the cutting edge. We just don't want to be on the bleeding edge of a market. And we think Cuba is probably there at the time of this broadcast.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be a great market. Don't expect the real estate guys to be announcing a trip to Cuba this quarter, but it's on our radar. It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions are answers. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, you can always go to realestateguysradio.com, click Ask the Guys, and fire away. When we come back, more great questions. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Creating Your Future, the 2016 Goals Retreat, taking place January 8th through 10th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2016 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com and register why there's still early bird pricing. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723 today.
Hello, Real Estate Guys listeners. This is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners. I want to talk to you for a minute about a handful of properties that we are selling right now in Metro Atlanta for less than $30,000. That's right. These are houses that we bought and have already fixed and have placed tenants in these properties, and we are now selling them for less than $30,000. These are properties that are not in the hood. They are not bad areas, and we've got a very high demand for tenants in this location. And right now we are selling these things for less than $30,000. Most of these properties are getting between $500 and $600 in rent per month. so your ROI is through the roof. On top of that, if you have interest, we would owner finance you on these deals as well. Call me today, 770-924-5450, or email me at ken@gainvesting.com.
Hi, this is Mauricio Raul, the founder and CEO of Mir Law Group, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com and available at all the finer podcast venues. It's Ask the Guys Today. Your questions are answers. This next one comes from Larry in Concord, California, who listens to a radio version of our show. He says, hey guys, I'm thinking about purchasing a larger 40 to 50 multi-unit apartment complex with net income history for good cash flow. Can the income history of property qualify me for a loan with larger or higher priced properties or owner carries as part of the loan or SBA, FHA? Well, there's a whole bunch we'll have to talk about there, Larry. The Stockton, California market seems to have higher cap rates because of lower prices and rising rents. Also, the surrounding area seems okay. I'd like to spend no more than a $350,000 down payment. I'm willing to sell some rental homes for down payment or 1031 to improve cash flow. I'm looking for something like what's attached, and he's attached a link of a listing of a nice apartment building, or if you can refer me to someone with experience with this type of deal. Love today's radio show. I'm ready to trade up. I'm open to all investments, including commercial warehouses for music band rehearsal. Please advise. All right. Well, Larry, thanks for the great question. First of all, multifamily today is a very hot space. There's a lot of money chasing multifamily, and this is true around the world, and definitely in the United States, and certainly in the top 100 MSAs, metropolitan statistical areas. That list would include Stockton, California. So I have some personal experience in Stockton, which I don't want to bleed too much into this. But first, let's talk about this idea of the income history, the cash flow, and qualification.
Well, yeah. So there's a couple of things. We can tell, Larry, from the question, you're not an experienced investor in the multifamily space, which is fine. That's great. And so you're writing in to get educated, and we're happy to do that. So the answer to your question is yes, absolutely the income. When you're buying commercial property, it's all about the property. It's really not that much about you. So the lender is going to look at the property, the history and the durability of the income. They're going to audit that. They're going to want to make sure that it's solid. They're going to require it to be enough to cover the proposed mortgage and a little bit more. It's called the debt coverage ratio. And there are different loan programs, including government-backed programs, to help you do that in many cases. So one of the very first things you want to do in a situation like this is get connected not to a realtor, but to a mortgage person who can help you begin to understand what that process looks like. Because what you are going to have is you're going to have some experience, and you're going to have a balance sheet. Sounds like you have a balance sheet, and that's good. However you made your money, good on you. But it would be good to have someone who, when a deal isn't at stake, to help you figure out exactly what you can and can't do. We have a great guy that we've had on the show many times, Michael Becker. You can find his information in the Resource Center on the Real Estate Guys website at realestateguysradio.com. Just go under Resources, look under Resource Network, and look for Old Capital, and you'll find information from Michael Becker there. In fact, you can send an email to multifamily@realestateguysradio.com, and that will give you a report that Michael wrote all about this type of financing and get you on his list so you can begin to look at some case studies. So for me, of course, I come from the mortgage side of things. I would start there, then you build out from there, begin to look at markets and things that actually have the types of properties that will deliver the financial performance you're after.
However, financing is absolutely critical for these kinds of deals, and it's a different world than single family homes. Single family home lenders look at you primarily as the borrower, your credit, your income, etc., and appraise the property. As soon as you get past 5 units on a residential basis, then you're in the commercial world, and it's totally different stuff. So a guy like Michael can help you for sure. Now let's talk about Stockton. Yeah, Stockton generally has higher cap rates because it's kind of a tertiary market. You might say that it has higher cap rates because of lower prices and rising rents. I would almost say it's exactly the opposite of that. A cap rate is a determination by the market about the suitability of an investment, meaning that if there's less people interested in a market, the cap rate is often higher. When there's more money chasing the same amount of income, it drives the cap rate lower. Is a higher cap rate better? Well, that sounds like a trick question. Of course, a higher cap rate's better. It's better return. But in many, many instances, and I would submit this may be one of them, the market has risk priced into the cap rate. You have to endure more to get a higher return. We're probably talking about C-class apartments in Stockton, and that's a tough market. Having owned several there, I wouldn't dissuade you from purchasing there, especially since you live right down the road. However, I would make sure you had a rock-solid property management solution ready to go. In California, you have a minimum requirement of 16 units or more require a residential on-site manager. So at 40 to 50 units, you'd have to have that at the least, but you'd probably want a property management company between your property manager and you.
Hey, Larry, I just read a little further down in your question and noticed that you have been active in rental homes. So good for you. You probably do have experience, and obviously you've got equity to do this 1031 exchange that you're interested in doing. So that's great. I do want to go back, Robert, to the point that you made, which I think is important, is that cap rates are really like interest rates on bonds. And if you really think about what that is, even your credit card, right? That's debt also. Income producing assets, whether they're debt instruments like bonds or credit card portfolio or equity-based income producing investments like real estate, that yield is what we're talking about. A cap rate or an interest rate is a yield on that investment. And to your point, typically the higher the yield, it's because there's more risk involved in the asset. Now, sometimes you can buy a relatively low risk asset at a time where it's fallen out of favor and you don't have as many people competing for it.
And quick aside, 40 to 50 units might be that. All the big institutional money's after 200, 300, 400 units. Little mom and pops are after fourplexes. 40 to 50 units in Stockton might be in that out-of-favor sweet spot.
Yeah, so higher cap rate doesn't necessarily mean dangerous, but anytime somebody's offering you a high return, you do need to take a look at what the risks are and really be aware of them. And again, when you have a lender working with you, lenders are taking even more of the risk, really, if you think about it, than you are. If you're going in with 30 or 40% down, that seems like a lot of down payment, and it is. But that means the lender's coming up with 60% or 70%. They have a lot more skin in the game. And so when you have an experienced guy or gal who can look at the deal with you and help you understand the risks, they can actually help you make a better investment decision purely just based on the fundamentals of the property that you're looking at.
So can we refer you to someone with experience? Well, certainly Michael Becker's a guy on the loan side I would talk to. And we do also have a broker we like in that area, and we'll refer that to you offline too, Larry. So thanks for your question. Good stuff. He ends by saying, do you have any upcoming events in the Concord, California area or a place just to hang out and maybe have a beer? Well, now you've got our attention.
How far away is Hoppy from? It's not too far.
We don't have anything scheduled in Concord. We often make it to California. We spend time there. We spend time throughout the U.S., as you know. But certainly you can check out our events page and see where we're going next. And any chance to have a beer is a good idea. It's Ask the Guys Today. Your questions, our answers. Our next question comes from Lewis in Irving, Texas. He says, hi, guys. I have registered and I'm waiting to attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication event in August. Awesome. However, I do not want to throw away my down payment on a duplex until I know how useful syndication can be. Should I use my down payment on buying a duplex now or wait to uncover some real secrets and use that down payment towards bigger deals? I'm torn here in Dallas, Texas. Please help. Also, what will be the benefit of owning an initial first investment property before a syndication? Will help or hurt? Waiting for your kind reply. Well, Lewis, we're certainly looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks in beautiful Dallas, just a stone's throw from Irving where you are. And lots of good stuff here. So first of all, if there is a red hot killer deal that you must absolutely execute on a duplex right now, well, then don't wait for the seminar. I wouldn't wait for a seminar to go invest in something. But having said that, opportunities are like buses. My guess is, since we're now talking about just a couple of weeks away, I would wait not just because of the nuggets and secrets you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of that, but because of the people that come to this event. You're going to get great ideas on markets, areas, strategies, just from talking to the other attendees. Our history in having done this event many, many times is that we get amazing people that show up for it. Over 100 people registered so far. We're really looking forward to an amazing event. We've got an incredible guest speaker who's never appeared with us. I'm so friggin' excited about. Anyway, here's the thing. You'll have an opportunity at this event to learn how to leverage what you're doing now and what you've done in the past into your future. For instance, the question of, should I buy first? Does it help me to have owned property? Absolutely, that's going to help with your credibility. But it also helps when you're doing a syndication, raising other people's money, if you have some of your own skin in the game.
Well, and the other thing is setting up your syndication business costs money. You need seed capital to actually start your business. You know, you just don't go out there in your own name. You're going to have to form an entity. You're going to have to spend time with attorneys. You're going to have to get your stuff set up. And it's just the nature of the beast. So if this is your last few $1,000s and you're going to all put it in a property, then you're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball, if you will, in terms of getting your business set up. So it's great to have a deal in your back pocket. To your point, Robert, I agree with that. It's also great to have money available to start your business and to be able to put into a syndication. There are a lot of people who don't necessarily put their own money into a syndication because they just don't have enough. Instead, they put the time and the effort and they find the deal and they leverage their relationships and their networks and their hustle and their knowledge and all of those things. And that's great. But all things being equal, if you have some money to put into the deal, it's better. It shows a higher vote of confidence for your investors as they're looking at you. Yeah, I'm investing right alongside you too. You believe enough to put your own money at risk along with mine.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, there's only one answer to the question, are you putting your own money in? And it's, of course I am. It is possible, as Russ said, not to. We know lots of people that have. It's just a long, hard road. It's like when you ask the waitress, hey, what's good here? And she says, oh, I don't eat the food here. If the deal's not good enough for you, then how can you possibly expect other investors to put their money in? So I would say all that, I would hold off a couple of weeks with the caveat that if it's the most amazing duplex deal you've ever seen and it's going to get away from you in 2 weeks, you may want to tie it up, get some due diligence time, and then come to the event.
Well, I mean, if it's that good, you can flip it, right? You don't even have to close on it. You could probably assign the contract after you come and maybe even take the deal and syndicate the balance of it. So, you know, again, if it's the right deal.
All right, good stuff. Well, there's still time for you to join us at the Secrets of Successful Syndication. Rich Dad Advisor and amazing syndicator Ken McElroy will be there. Attorney Marisa Raul, Michael Becker, who we talked about, is going to be at the event. Gene Garino's coming to talk about assisted living. We've got David Sewell coming to talk about agriculture. And we've got an amazing special guest who you're going to be so upset that you didn't get to see if you don't come. And it's not Robert Kiyosaki. Robert has been kind enough to show up as a surprise guest for two of our last three syndication events, but it's not him this time. It's someone who's never appeared at one of our events and may never again. But not that we're trying to influence you, but come on out to Dallas, Texas, to the Secrets of Successful Syndication. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. It's Ask the Guys today. More of your questions and our answers when we come back. Plus, we'll ask you a real estate trivia question next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis, Tennessee is a market that delivers in more ways than one. As home to FedEx, Memphis is one of the largest distribution hubs in the world. That means working class jobs. No wonder Memphis is one of the best cash flow real estate markets in America. And the guy in Memphis who can deliver great, affordable cash flow turnkey properties is Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's tips for turnkey rental property investing. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey at realestateguysradio.com. That's turnkey at realestateguysradio.com.
When the housing market crashed in 2008, San Antonio led the way in appreciation and cash flow. Would you like to have a strong, reliable investment that performs in both up and down markets? Cash flow is the key to successful investing, and we have tons of positive cash flow properties for our ATW investors. Come see why the Milken Institute rated San Antonio the number one economy in the United States, and why San Antonio is the only major city in the country to have a AAA bond rating. ATW Investments can teach you strategies for building strong, secure wealth with investments starting at $5,000. ATW's patented, proven, and powerful system will do all the hard work for you. ATW is where the perfect market meets the perfect strategy and produces the perfect results in your portfolio. To get started, go to the resource section of the Real Estate Guys website or email us at contact@atw-investments.com.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one downloaded podcast on real estate investing. Thanks for tuning in. If you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, like all the ones we're answering today, just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Ask the Guys. We love your questions. Even though we do not have time to answer everyone, there are some that we actually answer personally, or we give to the Godfather to do that too, and then best of the questions make it onto the air. We're always looking for great questions. Before we get back to more of your questions, it's time for us to ask you a question. It's real estate trivia. The question will have something to do with real estate. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer, here's what you got to do. Get to your email. Send us an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, because we're going to physically send you your prize, and the answer to the question or your best guess. Last week, we had a rare thing. We did not have a real estate trivia question, so there's no answer to give you. But the week before, we had Steve Forbes and Grover Norquist in the program talking about tax reform, and we asked this: beer is taxed in the U.S. through excise tax at the state level. Which state has the highest tax on beer? Well, the answer, the state of Tennessee, at almost $1.30 per gallon. And just to give you some context, the median tax in the U.S. is about 20 cents per gallon. So there's highly taxed beer, but some delicious beer in Tennessee.
So you're saying every time I drink a gallon of beer in Tennessee, I'm paying $1.30?
Yeah, wow. That's a lot of $1.30s. All right, here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the world's largest column-free room. The largest room in the world, clearly a real estate question, that has no columns supporting the roof. So when we build a big old building, we typically have to have columns that hold up the roof and floors.
Where do you find this stuff?
It's been 19 years. I really have to dig deep. All the easy questions we've asked 15 years ago, but this is a great one. If you think you know the answer, or you just want to take a guess, name the world's largest column-free room. And if you do that successfully, it'll be worth a lot. You'll get a brand new copy of Robert Kiyosaki's latest book called Second Chance. That can be yours. Just send your answer, your full name, and your mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. That's today's real estate trivia question. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. We got lots of great questions from our great listeners. This one comes from Dr. Benjamin in Richmond, Virginia. He says, hello, I'm a recently graduated dentist who has listened to your show since my sophomore year of undergrad. Many podcasts have come and gone in my library, but you guys are the one that has always been there. Basically, I'm saying you guys rock. Well, gosh, thanks, doctor. My question is, given the shift of baby boomers moving to retirement and moving their retirement funds from less volatile investments like stocks and possibly shifting them to bonds and or commodities, as well as drawing from the retirement accounts for living expenses, I wonder how this will affect the stock and bond market. If they are pulling money from the stock market, I would expect that overall the stocks will go down, even though fundamentals of the companies have not been changed because of decrease in overall capital available in the stock market. Also, if money is being shifted to the more stable bond market, what would be the expected outcome on interest rates? I know this is a long multi-part question, and for that I'm sorry, but thanks to your radio show, I've been able to get a much deeper understanding of economics at both micro and macro. All right, well, before the rest of you tune out completely, this is a really great question, and for a couple of reasons. Obviously, those markets tend to work kind of in conjunction, the stock market and the bond market, of course, other private equities and gold and silver and oil and even real estate. So we're always interested in the bigger economic picture than just real estate, but the baby boomers and the shift of that demographic cannot be overstated.
No, I mean, it's huge. We've talked about it many, many times in many ways. In fact, I got into the mortgage business back at the end of the 90s, going into the 2000s, because I felt the same thing. I said, hey, the baby boomers are going to be moving their asset allocation out of equities, stocks, into bonds, income-producing investments as part of their normal asset allocation. That should mean as more money goes into bonds and bids bonds up, interest rates will go down. Things that are priced based on leverage, like real estate, should go up because there will be more leverage available, and therefore there will be lots of opportunities in the mortgage business to refinance those properties and to reallocate that equity. And that whole strategy became the free duplex story and a lot of the things that we wrote about in Equity Happens. And we did that for years and years and years.
Well, in fact, what we were just talking about earlier in the show, cap rates and bond rates, when more money chases a return, it affects the rates, exactly what's happened here. And so the unique part of it is the sheer number of baby boomers. So if you've not read Rich Dad's Prophecy, probably a good idea to go read that book. In that book, Robert Kiyosaki predicts a stock market crash, one that hasn't come yet. And his prediction is based on exactly what you're talking about. The reason that people will have to start pulling money out of the stock market isn't based on fundamentals or technical analysis. It's based on their age.
Right. Right. And they hit age 70 and a half. They have to begin taking those minimum withdrawals. And so Kiyosaki's argument, and he did this years and years ago, was that when that demographic grouping hit critical mass, which he says is going to happen in 2016, those stock sales will begin to occur and it will begin to push prices down. It's the flip side. If the money is coming out and going into the bond market where they're investing for income. Of course, since then, we've had a thing called quantitative easing. And
right.
This is where the Federal Reserve and other central banks around the world, China most notably doing it recently, have actually printed money out of thin air. So this is money that wasn't in the system. The way you're describing it, Dr. Benjamin, is that you've got money in the stock market that has left the stock market. So the stock market goes down and it enters the bond market. So the bond market goes up and the bond yields, which is the interest rate, move inversely. So as the bond market goes up, interest rates go down. That all makes sense. But now if you take that same teeter-totter approach and you inject a whole bunch of money that didn't exist on either side of the equation, it is really hard to figure out what's really going to happen. And I spent a lot of time, we go to these conferences. In fact, we're going to be going to the New Orleans conference here coming up in October to spend more time around some of the biggest brains in the world that spend all their time contemplating these concepts, trying to figure out what we call the squish factor, right? You're going to have all this stuff squeezing into the economy. It's like if you squish a water balloon, you don't know where it's going to come out. A bubble is going to form somewhere, but nobody really knows where it's going to form or why. So I wish we had, we could say, oh, this is the answer, but we really don't know what the answer is. What you have to do is you have to continue to look at the indicators. So the stock market is telling us money is going into it because it's rising. We can see right now that money has been going into the bond market because interest rates have stayed low. So money's going into both sides. That makes sense because we've injected new money. Gold, on the other hand, and commodities has been down. Maybe some of the money has been coming out of there. Hard to say. And of course, now you're dealing with individual stock markets and exchanges, but you have a global economy. So money leaves the United States and goes to China, or goes from China, goes to the United States. So you watch those things, but they don't always tell you a clear picture. Then you have to marry that to your anecdotal experience, right? We spend a lot of talking to people. What are you doing with your money? Where are you moving? We look at things like how many people are moving in and out of different geographic locations. When it comes to real estate, and we did this at the Freedom Fest debate way back 2 years ago, we had this whole debate about different asset classes, and the guys that were talking paper assets were just all in the sky talking about all this stuff going on like we're talking about now. And then we just said, hey, you know what? Well, all of that's going on. People are living in their houses that they're renting from you, and they're sending you their checks every month because that is stable in the midst of all of this macroeconomic chaos. So I probably more than anybody on earth like to get into the macroeconomic stratosphere. But at the end of the day, the reason real estate is so exciting, and we use this when we talk on the summit about real asset investing, we show the little frog holding onto the leaf. When things are crazy and the wind is blowing and everything, the storm is raging, you have to cling to what's real. What's real is real estate. It's real. It's physical. It's not going anywhere. It's need, it's service, it's utility for human beings, not going anywhere. When people move in, whether it's a business or for their personal residence or whatever, they put a farm or something, they make long-term commitments to be in this property. And that means a long-term stream of income. And so it really smooths out a lot of these macro gyrations.
And no, it's bigger than that. Here's what it boils down to, Dr. Ben. Real estate is not an asset class like those other asset classes. See, the money that goes into the stock market and the bond market and gold and silver and oil and gas is 100% discretionary. No one ever has to buy an ounce of gold. No one ever has to buy a stock. Real estate and interacting with real estate financially is not an option. You have to do it. You have to live somewhere. Even if you live under a bridge, you're interacting with real estate. If you're renting a property, you're financially tied to real estate. If you're buying a house, you're financially tied to real estate. And so the investors who like to clump real estate into a class can't do it.
Yeah,
it doesn't operate
do it.
Like any other investment class. Not only that, when things are really, really great, real estate's usually a good place to be. When things are really awful and that frog's grabbing onto that leaf, real estate's usually a pretty good place to be, right? A stock can go from $100 a share to zero. Really, a property can't do that. Unless it's on the corner of Loma Prieta Boulevard and San Andreas Drive, it can't go to zero, and even then it's not going to be worth nothing. So you really have to think through the big market, which is obviously what you're getting your mind around. But at the end of the day, it's why we always come back to real estate.
It's how you use leverage, right? Because the property doesn't go down to nothing, but your equity can go down to nothing. Your cash flow can go negative. That's when you have an issue. So you have to separate your financial structure from the investment or the asset itself. And then you have to make sure you put structures in place that can withstand storms. And that goes right down to the property, the interest rate, the terms of the loan, and who the demographic that you're serving is. So how you structure your deal can have a lot to do with how safe you are, no matter what's going on macroeconomically.
All right, great question. We've got more when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Kim Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Woman, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, and there's still time to come on out to the secrets of successful syndication, but you better hurry. Go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events. Come learn to do bigger deals using other people's money. It's going to be an amazing event. We can virtually guarantee it now that we have more than 100 people signed up. It's going to rock, but we still have space for you.
When has it ever not rocked?
It's always great. It's always amazing. And this one is going to be over the top. So come on out and check it out. This next question comes from Brett in Honolulu, Hawaii. He says, your show was my first stop for ideas concerning my real estate investing. I've spent many hours listening to your show, and I'm thankful for everything you do. My question concerns lease purchases. My rental property in the Atlanta area has been managed for the past 8.5 years during my military career. I just refinanced in December of 2014 and finally seeing positive cash flow from the rent of about $200 a month. The value of the house is $136,000, up from $98,000 a year ago.
Equity happened.
Should have come on the Atlanta field trip 18 months ago. The most recent tenant asked my property manager to see if I would consider a lease purchase or allowing her to buy the property outright. I started looking into lease purchase options, and land deed contracts. I'm not sure if I want to keep the positive cash flow or take the equity out and put it towards other properties. The property is my first home, and I bought it to live in, not as a rental. I feel that if I sell, I can use the equity to buy one or more other properties that would have instant cash flow. I love that, instant cash flow. Also, now would be a great time to get financing because I am paid well through the military. When I get out of the Navy in a year, I may not have such an easy time finding loans. Do you know of any place where I can get better information about my options so I can make a better, more informed decision? One where I have all the numbers to see if they make sense. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, as Russ always says, do the math and the meth will tell you what to do, Brett. First of all, great. You're in a property that has gone up in value and it's positive cash flow. Not a lot wrong with that scenario. Here's the problem. Most of us who acquire real estate because we want to create wealth in our lives can't get too excited about $200 a month positive cash flow. Whatever that number is for you that you'd like to see coming in passively per month, maybe it's $10,000, maybe it's $5,000, maybe it's $100,000, takes a lot of houses at $200 a month. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, a lease option is a very valid exit strategy for some sellers, but not everybody. So I think first let's talk about lease option. What is a lease option? Now, the caveat here is it's different in different states. And in fact, in certain states in the U.S., it's not legal. And in some countries, they generally don't do lease options, although legally they could. A lease option is generally three things. It's a lease, meaning a tenant is going to lease a property from you. It's an option, which is the right, but not the obligation to do something. So they're going to have an option to buy. And the third thing it is a purchase contract, because somehow we have to get to what is the price and terms, even if what we say is in 2 years when you exercise the option, we're going to value it based on appraisal. But you still have a general purchase contract. So a lease, an option, and a contract.
So I think there's a couple things here, and it's actually, this is kind of a strategy question, which I love. And so let me see if I can kind of just bang through the way I would think about approaching this problem. First of all, you've got idle equity. You've got $136,000 value now based on where it was at 98. And I don't know what your purchase equity is, but right out of the gate, you've got quite a bit of equity sitting there. So I'm interested in, well, how much cash flow am I getting off that equity, right? Right now, it's about $2,400 a year off of about $38,000 in equity. It's about 6%. Okay. Then you'd have selling costs if you tried to move it. So you have to ask yourself whether or not that's worth it. And the other question is, do you think this property is going to be worth? Is it a good property? Is it going to continue to appreciate, do you think? Is it in a high demand area? We don't know that much about it. Obviously, you've done something right. Maybe by dumb luck, you ended up in Atlanta, a market that we absolutely like. But you have to ask yourself that zero-sum thinking you were talking about earlier in the show, Robert. If you didn't already own this particular property, would you buy it? Now, with that said, there's two different ways to free up idle equity. You can sell the property and incur sales expenses. You may or may not have a tax issue. You could do a 1031 tax deferred exchange. You said you started your military career 8.5 years ago. I'm not sure if that's when you bought the house. It says it was. So maybe you haven't lived in it for 8 years, right?
He bought it as a home to live in, but it's been managed for 8.5 years. So he's owned it at least that, if not longer. And you have not lived in it 2 of the last 5 years.
Yeah,
so you
that's
don't
where
get you don't get the set aside for the income. It's going to be a rental property.
Right. So you can do a 1031 exchange to free up that idle equity and move it into better properties. Or if you like the property, you can do a cash out refinance. And that goes to the point that there's low interest rates right now. You have excellent income and employment history. And so assuming your credit is good, you should be able to free up some of that equity. And then you can use that money as down payments on future properties.
Or you can enter into a lease option with your tenant. What does that look like? Well, the first thing that typically happens in a lease option is that the rent goes up. Your option consideration the tenant has, they're going to pay you something, a check for $2,000 for the consideration of an option that they could buy in the next 2 years, or, and this is maybe an and, the rent goes up by a couple $100s. If they're paying $1,200 a month now, say, you say, well, if we're going to enter into a lease option, your rent's going to go up to $1,400 and you're going to pay me a $2,000 lease option consideration.
Yeah, basically what you're doing is you're trading higher income today and you're giving away the upside in the property to the now tenant.
Potentially you are, because it's just an option, not a requirement. So what you're saying is, hey, in 2 years or 3 years or pick a time, at the option of your tenant, they will be able to buy the property at either a predetermined value or a predetermined formula based on how you're going to figure out the value is. Markets go up, markets go down. If it's 2 years from now, I wouldn't set the price today knowing what I know about the Atlanta market.
Right.
I'd suggest perhaps you use a formula where the buyer gets an appraisal, the seller gets an appraisal, you add the amounts together, divide by two, that's your number, or some other metric. You might get a BPO, a broker price opinion. You might ask the property manager to step in. There's a lot of ways to figure it out, but I wouldn't leave all that upside equity between now and 2 years there. Now, having said that, I could be wrong. I often am. What if the market goes back down to 98? See, here's where the lease option or the option to purchase benefits the tenant. Because if, let's say, they get a lease purchase option right now for $136,000 and the price in 2 years is $70,000, guess what? They're not going to exercise. But if in 2 years the price is $180,000, they are going to exercise. So that's why I like leaving it open in terms of what the value is going to be.
You might get more cash flow if you didn't leave it open, right? I mean, so all of these numbers can be moved around. The other thing is you say, well, yeah, the tenant wins in that situation because they didn't buy a property that went down in value. But you won also because you got higher rent for the entire time and they didn't take the property.
And one of my favorite things about lease options, your tenant is now treating the property like an owner because they're expecting one day to be the owner.
Well, that part's huge too. So let's say you were to do a cash out refinance right now and did the lease option. Because now what you've done is you've taken the equity out and let's say you wanted to keep the same situation. You net $200. You say, okay, so I take the extra $200 I charge the tenant and I use that to make a bigger loan and I get the loan proceeds out. So I get, you know, $50,000 or $30,000, whatever the number is. Now I've got this equity out of the property. If the property goes down in value, there's no margin call. I still have that cash and I can use that cash to go put it into another property and accumulate another stream of income where I get the chance to leverage my income, my personal income from being in the Navy and my credit, right? So now I own property A with the new tenant in it on a lease option paying more money. I've extracted some of the idle equity so Mr. Market can't take it away from me. And I go and I put that into another property, maybe in another market that cash flows better or another part of Atlanta where there, you know, it's got more upside, whichever you choose to do. And you may end up with more cash flow, more property, and you haven't relinquished the existing property. Now you've relinquished control because the tenant could take it out from you. But that's fine because if they do, then you've already agreed ahead of time at whatever price that would be, it would make financial sense. And if they don't, well, then you still have the property.
Now, the other point, which is a great one, is you know that right now you qualify for a loan because you've got good income. So this idea of harvesting some equity, taking some cash out, buying another property while you can qualify makes a lot of sense because fast forward a year when you're out of the Navy, maybe you can't qualify. There's also VA financing that could possibly be available to you. So a lot of things to think about here. It all boils down to doing the math, and the math will tell you what to do. A lease to purchase or lease option strategy can make a lot of sense on both sides, as a buyer and as a seller. You just have to know what you're getting in exchange for what you're giving up. Well, I wish we'd get to more questions because there's so many good ones, but we will. We're going to do another Ask the Guys show in a few weeks, so just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com, click Ask the Guys, and we look forward to getting your questions. Hey, big thanks to all the folks that submitted questions, whether we answered them or not. And until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.